Girl by Edna O'Brien, narrated by Sheila Atim.
We have helicopters now that can fire 4,000 rounds per minute. A truly devastating piece of military hardware. A game changer. Nigerian government statement in response to Boko Haram. Here's linen to clothe your wounds. Hecuba to the defiled daughters of Troy. Euripides, the Trojan women. Chapter 1. I was a girl once, but not anymore. I smell. Blood dried and crusted all over me, and my wrapper in shreds. My insides a morass. Hurtled through this forest that I saw, that first awful night when I and my friends were snatched from the school. The sudden pa-pa of gunshot in our dormitory, and men, their faces covered, eyes glaring, saying they are the military come to protect us, as there is an insurrection in the town. We are afraid, but we believe them. Girls staggered out of bed, and others came in from the veranda, where they'd been sleeping because it was a warm, clammy night. The moment we heard, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," we knew. They had stolen our soldiers' uniforms to get past security. They pelted questions at us. Where's the boys' school? Where's the cement kept? Where are the storage rooms? When we told them we did not know, they went crazy. Then some others ran in to say they could not find any spare parts or petrol in the sheds, which led to argument. They could not go back empty-handed, or their commander would be furious. Then, amid the clamour, one of them with a grin said, "Girls will do." And so we heard an order for more trucks to be dispatched. One girl took out her cell phone to call her mother, but it was instantly snapped from her. She began to cry. Others began to cry, pleading to be let home. One went on her knees, saying, "Mister, mister," which enraged him, so that he began cursing and taunting us, calling us names, saying we were sluts, prostitutes, that we should be married and soon we would. We were separated into batches of 20 and had to wait, jabbering and cleaving to one another until the order was given to vacate the dormitory at once and leave everything behind. The driver of the first truck outside the school gates had a gun to his head, so that he drove zanily through the little town. There was no one about who might report on a truck passing through at such an ungodly hour with girls crammed into it. Soon we were at a border village that opened into a landscape of thick jungle. The driver was told to stop, and minutes after he was brought out, we heard a barrage of gunfire. Other drivers have arrived, and there is wild talk and conferring as to which girls to put in the different trucks. Terror had paralyzed us. The moon that we lost for a time reappeared high up in the sky, its cold rays shining on dark trees that stretched on and on, bearing us to the pith of our destination. It is not like the moon that shone on the dormitory floor, picking up our clothes but leaving our copybooks, our satchels and our belongings as we were told. I hid my diary, as it was my last link with my life. But we had not lost hope. We knew that by then the search parties would have begun, our parents, our elders, our teachers, all in pursuit. Through the open sides of the truck, we throw things out in order for them to trace us. A comb, a belt, a hanky, scraps of paper with names scrawled on them. "Find us! Find us!" We talk in whispers and try to give each other courage. We enter dense jungle. Trees of all kinds meshed together, taking us into their vile embrace. Nature had gone amok here. The terrain underneath is so rugged that even the motorcyclists, who have been riding along to stop us from escaping, keep losing their grip and are thrown onto high embankments. Rebecca says to me, "Let's jump for it." But I hesitate.